This week, the buzz is rocking our universe and Halloween, but we're also discussing what Universal has to offer for those who aren't thrill seekers. From the Bob Varley Studio, this is episode 16 of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. It is Unplugged Universal Edition is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Hey, everyone.
Hey.
We are back once again to talk about all things Universal Orlando. I'm Craig Williams.
And I'm Sean Thompson. And I'm not as confused about the show as you are.
Well, yeah, I kind of forgot which one this was.
You ended that in a question.
Oh, did I?
Yeah. Well, it's unfortunate.
It happens.
Yeah, we'll get over it.
But thank you, everyone, once again, for tuning in to the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. Before we get started, I just wanted to remind everyone, as I have the past couple weeks now, if you enjoy the show, please like,
for those
share,
few. Yeah,
comment on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter.
All of those things.
And if you don't like it, let us know, too, as long as the response is, I don't like Universal.
Yeah, but you love us.
If it's anything about our personality, leave that out there.
No, yeah, you can keep it in.
Keep it in.
Keep it in, but just keep it, you know, keep it to a minimum.
It's whatever you want to.
Yeah.
But pass it along if you like it. Someone else might like it too. And if they don't, then you're just going to end up looking like a really bad friend. So go you.
Come on, guys. You got to be good friends.
Yeah. Anyways, of course, yeah. Later on in the show, as I just mentioned less than a minute ago, we're going to be kind of discussing what you can do during a Universal vacation if you don't like a lot of thrill rides.
But only thrill in quotes. So you can yeah. Decipher that if you want.
And it's if you can't do it, or also if you just plain don't enjoy it.
Yeah. There are those types of people.
Yeah, this comes from the brainchild of Sean and Sean's mother.
It is, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Are we talking about that now?
I don't want to really go into her name just because I don't know if she wishes to be left
anonymous.
She's
actually in the Witness Protection Agency. Did you know that?
I thought so.
Yeah.
But
we can't talk about her.
Do you just want to do a brief overview for everyone?
I will give a synopsis, yeah. So basically for this segment, we are going to talk about things to do at Universal if you don't really like roller coasters or simulators or those kind of intense rides.
Yep.
Because I think there's a big group of people that don't like those.
Yeah.
Especially when you kind of go into the Disney audience and it's a big group of people that can't really handle it or don't prefer them or whatever. So
absolutely.
We're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
And see if it's worth your time and money to go to Universal.
And I mean, the quick answer is yes.
It's a definite yes.
We'll explain why you should.
Yeah.
Before we do get to that later on in the show, I think we should talk about what's buzzing on the grapevine. Ha ha ha.
Jokes.
Laughter for 8 minutes.
8 minutes.
Okay. So the buzz. First off, of course, well, you don't know. You're going to find out.
Who are you talking to?
Everyone.
Me or the collective people?
Everyone in general. Okay. So this past week, Halloween was actually officially announced finally for Halloween Horror Nights 24.
Finally, we talked about it.
Yeah, back on episode 14 of the Diz Unplugged Universal mm-hmm. Edition, you might have heard about it. We talked about how there was a rumor that Halloween was going to become because the official Halloween Twitter and Facebook pages posted a photo about Michael Myers and Halloween returning to Halloween Horror Nights. And I guess before we go any further, for those people who don't know what we're talking about, we mean Halloween, the Jamie Lee Curtis film from 1976.
The franchise.
The John Carpenter
yeah.
film that started a franchise of two good movies and then a really lot of bad movies.
Well, I'm really upset that this isn't including the H2O.
I know.
Halloween movie.
It's literally
that breaks my heart.
It's been your joke every week that we've
talked
about.
I'm not mentioning any joke. I'm just saying I'm sad that it's not there.
Okay, so
I don't reuse material.
Like we said, a long time ago, months ago at this point, eons.
So
they had that picture up and they pulled it down.
Yeah, because here's what they messed up. They announced it too early. Universal wasn't ready. Something wasn't right. I don't know.
Silly kids.
Yeah.
But now it is officially announced, as we said, and that finally makes eight houses.
There are eight.
We knew it was going to happen. It was going to be eight.
Yeah.
But that's the official house. I think we've talked about it a decent deal before in the past.
Yeah, we've covered it.
However, after seeing like some of the promotional content along with it, like the little video they shot, and then they posted the Universal Halloween Horror Nights Twitter feed that's usually run by Michael Aiello.
Yeah.
He posted a picture of a room that had about 30 of the Michael Myers masks in it. And I apologize, we don't have the photo here to show right now, but obviously we don't prepare for this.
Obviously not, because it's the first time I'm hearing about it, so you know how that works.
Did you not see the picture?
No.
Oh, it was awesome. There's like,
it sounds awesome.
There was like 30, I think I counted 33 of the masks.
Okay.
And so, I mean, there's going to be a Michael Myers every time you turn a corner.
Every 1 foot, there's going to be a Michael Myers.
Yeah, and then there's actually going to be the real Michael Myers.
Well, I was gonna...
And if you don't see him there, then you'll be able to go over to Shrek 4D, and then you'll be able to see another Michael Myers.
The way I was going to take that was that, surprisingly enough, under one of those 33 Michael Myers masks was the actual Michael Myers in his Austin Powers outfit. And you, if you could choose the right one, then you win.
He's busy right now on location filming The Love Guru 2, I'm sure.
The part 2. But
anyway, so the 8 houses this year are now officially Halloween.
Yes.
The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Alien versus Predator. From Dusk Till Dawn.
All right. You want me to do the other four?
Sure.
Giggles and Gore Incorporated. The Clown Factory. Mm-hmm. Dollhouse of the Damned. Dracula Untold. And then Roanoke, The Cannibal Colony.
Yeah.
So it's a good mix. I think we talked a lot about the kind of franchise ones versus the original ones.
Yeah.
So I think it's a nice mixture of those two. I mean, we talked a lot about last time, but I don't know. It seems well-rounded.
Yeah, and on top of that, for people who aren't really familiar with Halloween Horror Nights, we've talked about before how there's some in sound stages, some in tents. Even there's one built in the disaster queue, but the houses take on different feels based on where it's at. So you've got some idea where some things are popping up and some are just plain guesses. But like Halloween was, it's going to be in a tent this year. Back behind The Simpsons and Men in Black. So we know that for sure. The Walking Dead's got to be in a soundstage. One of the ones, either 22 or 23, which is kind of behind Rocket, that is big enough to hold two houses in one, since it will be the largest maze that they've ever actually built.
Okay. So that's like where Cabin in the Woods was last year.
Exactly. Yeah. That area along with, everything that was there.
Yeah.
Werewolf in London.
Uh-huh.
But then, like, Giggles and Gore is supposed to be in the disaster queue, which is where typically the fun houses are, because a lot of light can be let in. A couple of years ago, that's where the first Walking Dead house was.
Okay. But so last year, the video game one, well, I forget the name of it now, but that's
Resident Evil.
Resident Evil.
That was in the soundstage. Last year,
the one in the queue wasn't the video game one. It was the train derailed.
It was Havoc.
Havoc derailed. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, a lot of them, it looks like... Dracula, Roanoke, Cannibal Colony, From Dusk Till Dawn, Alien versus Predator, Walking Dead will all be in sound stages, so those should all be nice. Halloween and a tent is a bizarre choice, but it could be cool, as well as I can't remember what other one's supposed to be in a tent, but it's going to be a nice mix. And I'm excited for all of them. And
it's coming up soon, the 19th.
Yeah. And of course, we're going to be covering that on the show. And then on the 30th of September, actually, along with our coverage of Halloween Horror Nights.
We're going out to Hollywood.
Yeah, Hollywood.
So that's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So remember.
Lots of Halloween coverage.
Set your calendars.
It'll be the new thing to complain about, since we're not talking about Harry Potter that much anymore.
Set your calendars for fun on September 30th.
Fun and scariness.
But more fun.
Okay.
So, yep. I think that does it for now for Halloween Horror Nights. We'll bore y'all later. But let's move on to something everyone cares about. Rock the universe.
Okay. You're going to put this on me? All right. So, Rock the Universe.
There was just crickets. So.
I heard them.
Yeah.
This weekend, the 5th and 6th of September, is the start of Rock the Universe at Universal Studios.
Exactly.
It is the 2-day Universal Christian Rock Festival, which is very similar to the Night of Joy thing that they host at Disney.
Yes.
Which is usually at Magic Kingdom.
Uh-huh.
So, some of the acts for Rock the Universe will be Newsboys, Third Day, mm-hmm. Jeremy Camp, Toby Mac, Switchfoot. So if you know those, that's good. One-day tickets start at $57.99, which is compared to Disney's, which are $59. So it's a couple dollars cheaper. And the event takes place on the Music Plaza stage in Production Central, which is where they did the Jimmy Fallon tapings for the musical acts. That's where they do the Mardi Gras concerts.
Yeah.
So it's a nice big space. It's a really nice place for a concert.
Well, and I mean, the video for this will go up on Friday as well as the audio. For anyone who watches live, though, and you're planning on going this weekend, this is a good thing to know. The park's going to close early because of the concert that takes place. This is a hard ticket event. One of the only things that's hard ticket besides Halloween Horror Nights happening at a Universal Studios. And it's kind of like Disney's Night of Joy, as we said, in that it brings in a lot of youth groups from all around the country. Yeah. And I've walked through the parks before it's actually started at Universal. I've never done it at Disney. I think they kind of try to clear everyone out before they even start to get the festivities rolling. But we know generally that a lot of time all these little Hellraisers come out for a Christian concert and really, really shake things up there. So if you were planning on going, if you're local on the 5th and 6th and you're like, hey, it's a weekend, why not go?
Yeah, $57 to burn, do it.
I was going to go more for that. You might not get your money's worth out of a day ticket
if you don't have an annual pass.
You know, there's lots of options here, but it's happening this weekend. Yeah. Be aware of it. It's going to be definitely a little bit of an older crowd, but Night of Joy is definitely going to get younger kids, preteens to early teens.
Well, like you said, a lot of times big groups from churches and youth groups like that, they'll travel together, and this will kind of be like a big field trip that they go all together. Yeah. So a lot of Night of Joy is really centered around kind of a younger audience typically.
And this one is too, but a lot of the bands that play are actually older groups that, I mean, I know that they were popular whenever we were growing up.
Yes.
I have heard of them
in the youth
at that
group
point.
Scene.
And so, I mean, Switchfoot, they were actually decently big.
Yeah. I think they really only became popular because of A Walk to Remember. Do you remember that Nicholas Sparks movie where Mandy Moore, she gets sick and she plays a song on the piano and you don't know it? I actually played that song for a piano recital.
Cool.
That's embarrassing to admit, but
so
enjoy that.
Rock the Universe. That was our PSA for Rock the Universe.
Just information. Yeah.
Now this is a little more exciting for people who are hotel guests.
It's really good for trip planning.
But it's also not.
Well, okay.
But it is.
I mean, it's good information. Let's say that.
Yeah. I agree.
So I don't know what... early park entry. I don't know what the symbols mean. Early park entry for hotel guests now is exclusively for Universal Studios Florida.
Exactly. So... Yeah, EPA.
When you write EPA, I'm going to think of Environmental Protection Agency.
The EPA for hotel guests started exclusively for Universal Studios Florida this week.
Okay.
So for those who aren't familiar with the Universal Hotels, one of the perks, like Disney World, is they have extra magic hours, kind of in a way. They call it early park entry.
Yeah.
Except at Universal, it's not like it doesn't bounce around. They have the two parks, but always before... Diagon Alley opened up. It was every day you could get in an hour early for Wizarding World of Harry Potter Hogsmeade over at Islands of Adventure.
Okay.
You had an hour in there. So usually you could typically get on Forbidden Journey once and then hopefully get into the line at least for Ollivander's before it got too busy. But you basically had whatever you wanted for that first hour to do. And then for a little while there after it opened, they were actually being nice. And for all the hotel guests, you had early park entry for both Diagon Alley and for Hogsmeade. But now they are switching it up and it is only for Diagon Alley. And specifically actually inside Diagon Alley itself. So Hogwarts Express won't open up until the other park.
Until opens both parks
up
are
well.
Open. Yeah.
Yeah. It's good in a way for Islands of Adventure. It's going to give Forbidden Journey and some of the other rides over there a little bit of an operating break that they don't have to open up so early every day now.
Yeah.
Forbidden Journey's been breaking down a lot lately, and it needs a little bit of a rest.
Really?
Well, Disney is okay with taking their bigger rides down.
I was going to
rehabs a lot.
Yeah. So how common is that for Universal?
Well, I mean, you've been going now for about a year in general. If you've noticed, their rides never go down for rehab. They basically operate every single day unless they have to close it for some reason.
Okay.
But these rides really go through it all the time. Every now and then, some of the roller coasters have to go through mandatory downtimes where they'll be down for about 2 weeks. But in general, the other rides, if they don't have to take them down at all for anything, then they'll do that. So
what's the thought process behind that? Because I would think you would want to preempt kind of waiting till the last minute to fix things. Is it just they don't want to?
It's just I don't know the thought process on it. I understand that it is an inconvenience for guests.
Oh, no, there's no question.
Whenever rides go down. So I just being there as a guest, seeing what they do, if they can get away with just if it's a roller coaster that maybe has three trains that run around on it, if they can get rid of one of them and do all the work they need to do on that. So they only have two. They take the chance of if something happens to one, you only have one. Then, you know, at least you can still keep going with it. You don't have to take it down, do everything at once, and inconvenience guests for a certain amount of time.
Okay.
That's just my speculation on it.
That's good speculation.
Not sure. But anyways,
but if you're planning a trip,
because they don't do this really ever that I've seen, it's actually really, really good for all the rides at Islands of Adventure, Harry Potter, and the Forbidden Journey in particular, that it gets a little bit of break from that extra hour added onto its operating day.
Yeah, and I think we're moving towards a time period where maybe crowds will start to slow down a little bit up until the holiday season. Yep. So, you know, it's easier to have early admission only into one park.
Yeah, and I'm not positive what's going to happen in the future. I believe that the early park entry is going to open back up for Hogsmeade as well once you get further onto the Christmas season just to help suck in those crowds early. But, I mean, just from any time I've ever used early park entry, it is one of the best perks to have. Because if you stay at one of the deluxe hotels at Universal, of course, you get the express pass. So if you add on early park entry and you go do everything in one of the Harry Potter Wizarding Worlds, and then you just go around the rest of the park, you can literally be done with your day by a little bit after noon.
Yeah. Which is fantastic. I mean, you're essentially putting a whole day of running around, and then you can spend the rest of your day doing rides again or whatever.
Redo them over and over again. It's unlimited. Not at Cabana Bay, of course, but everything else in general you can do.
Yeah.
So that's enough for our PSA.
Cool.
On early park entry. I mean, it's just been a show full of PSAs, which
the more you know,
there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
So, but yeah, that's gonna do us. Do it.
Do it for us. Yes.
For the buzz at Universal.
Yeah.
Before we discuss anything else, though, last episode, we played a game where we showed a blurred out picture with a quote saying, "You guys haven't seen a giant steel ball, have you?" Kind of like that exact thing
you
that's
might
up
be
on the
seeing
screen
it on
right
the
now.
Screen at this very moment.
If you're watching, if you're listening, you just listen to me. And I'm sorry for my voice. I'm monotone.
It's awful. None of us can stand
it. A lot of people can't, but my apologies. So we looked at all the responses,
every single one of them,
Twitter and YouTube and slightly on Facebook. We
learned that we probably made it a little too easy.
Yeah.
I learned that.
We also apologize for those who normally find our show through Facebook. We forgot to post a link to last week's show in there.
Okay.
Our bad.
Sincere apology.
Sincerest.
Yes.
So everyone who submitted
their
answer with hashtag DizUniversal had the chance of winning a $50 American Express gift card that can be used at Universal Orlando because it is the official card holder of Universal. I just made that run-on sentence so long, I kind of forgot what I was saying in the middle of it. But anyways.
Did we choose a winner?
Todd Bartlett.
Todd Bartlett. Congratulations.
You won.
Yes.
You know why you won, Todd Bartlett? Because you guessed the Simpsons ride.
The Simpsons ride.
Like every single other person.
Well, one person says Poseidon's Fury, and that's a very unfortunate mistake, but... Good for you. Thanks for trying. No one said that. I'm just kidding. All right. So, Todd, send us a message. Facebook, email, Craig at WWInfo, Sean at WWInfo.com
at the end of those.
No, there's no .coms. We have really cool email addresses that don't need .coms.
Cool beans.
Yeah. So just send us a message, get in touch, and we will get that on the way.
Exactly.
Yeah. Thanks for doing that.
Yeah. And we also felt like we haven't talked about Halloween Horror Nights enough yet.
I told you we're going to talk about it a lot.
Yeah.
So
this week we're going to ask you all to decide which house you are most excited for.
Yes. Out of the eight that we listed earlier. Should we list them again now?
List them again real quick.
All right. We've got...
Rapid.
I have to find the start of the list. Halloween, Walking Dead, Alien vs. Predator, From Dusk Till Dawn, Dracula Untold, Dollhouse of the Damned, Giggles and Gore Incorporated, Roanoke Cannibal Colony. So those are the eight.
That's all of them.
Just tweet us. Send us a message on Facebook, right on our wall, whatever, just with Well, not on our
when we post the video on Facebook on the Diz Unplugged channel, facebook.com/DizUnplugged.
Comment there.
Comment there.
Yeah.
Hashtag Diz Universal. Tell us what you're most looking forward to. And most importantly, I don't know if anyone who actually watches or listening is going to Universal for Halloween Horror Night. If you're not, let us know which one you would be excited for if you were going. And that way you have a chance of winning this $50 gift card.
It can be a hypothetical situation. Doesn't have to be set in stone. We're not going to find you at the event and say, hey, listen, you told us this is the one you're most looking forward to.
See, I thought it was going to be like one of those situations where, I choose Walking Dead. Well, you're wrong.
Well, you're wrong. I'm sorry.
So we're the McLaughlin group from SNL with Phil Hartman.
It's very objective. There is no subjectivity. Is that a word? I don't know what I'm saying.
Well, now it is.
All right.
So let us know.
You get it. Just tell us what you want to see. Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, with that, let's move on to our spotlight on the universe this week, which is what you can do at Universal if you are a non-thrill seeker.
The answer's nothing. No, I'm just kidding. The answer's not nothing. So basically, I came up with this segment because Universal has a pretty big reputation for being a great theme park for people that love thrill rides, mm-hmm. whether it be coasters or the simulators that they're really known for. You got Transformers, Spider-Man, mm-hmm. really big simulator rides. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of people get the misconception that there's not much to do there if you're not the type of person that likes those rides.
Yeah.
And so actually, this weekend, I went home to Virginia, and I was talking to my parents, my mom specifically, and I said, you know, what's your biggest question about Universal? Because they're planning a trip down here, and I want to take them to see things, and I want to take them and, you know, let them enjoy the park and see these new things that I've kind of been, you know, getting into and stuff. And my mom basically just flat out said, is it worth me even going there? Because if I'm not going to ride these rides for whatever reason, for not enjoying roller coasters and stuff, what is there enough for me to do there that's going to be worthwhile? And I think you kind of have a similar situation. Your parents, I know, I don't think they're huge roller coaster fans.
My mom is a thrill seeker, I will say.
Yeah.
She does everything. My dad used to do everything, but then whenever he bumped his head on an airplane and ended up having to go through brain surgery, he's kind of stepped away from doing thrill rides, as he should. But as a family, in general, I think we haven't really all been together going through the parks, going to like thrill rides and stuff. But my dad definitely wants to stay away from attractions that would aggravate him in any way. So I'll get to experience it the next time we actually have time in parks to do something besides eating and drinking and having fun. But then again, those are some of the things you can do.
You basically just did the entire segment there.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
I think this is a pretty common question. And a common feeling, because I think even if in a group of like your family, like you described, even though there are people in the family that do want to do these rides, there's probably going to be a couple people that aren't into this. So there's going to be that balance. You know, you have to find out what you can do if you're not into the thrill rides. So the way we organized it is we kind of listed out some attractions and rides that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though there are these huge rides, these roller coasters, you got Hulk and all that stuff, there's a good selection of rides that you can do.
I agree.
Whether it be shows or rides. So I think we're going to just run through the list of those.
Yep.
Probably talking about it a little bit. But let's start with Universal Studios Florida and the things that you can do there if you don't want to do anything big. So the first one is Despicable Me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this one kind of has a caveat because it is a simulator screen. And there's motion in the theater. But essentially what it is, it's a theater you sit down and watch a movie. And so I think for most people, this is going to be an okay experience. I know I had a pretty bad reaction to it. So if you get motion sick with the screens, this is probably a bad one to start off with. But
however, a lot of people only get motion sickness if your seat is moving along with it. Despicable Me does have stationary seating.
They do. Yeah.
So it's just basically a bench that you can sit on right down in the front of the screen. Mm-hmm. And then it would just be like watching a normal 3D movie. If you can't even handle that, then you're kind of in trouble with Despicable Me. But
The issue I had is because the seats you're sitting in is moving. You're essentially sitting in a ride vehicle in this theater. And so that's where I had a problem because you're moving at a different rate and, you know, it's kind of simulating the movement of the screen. But if I were to sit in one of those stationary seats, and if I was a huge Despicable Me fan, I think it would be different.
Yeah. And for those who do love Despicable Me, but they might not be able to handle the ride itself, even the stationary seating, the queue's absolutely fabulous once you get inside Gru's house. You're not familiar with the movies yet.
Because, no, but I can appreciate it. I mean, the queue is really detailed.
It's really, really nice. And the pre-shows are kind of, they've got humor in it. It's Steve Carell's voice. How can it not be humorous?
No, he's the greatest. So along the same lines, you have Shrek 4D.
Yep.
Which is another sit-down show.
Yeah.
You are wearing 3D glasses and then, you know, it's kind of a show. It's included in one of the DVDs, but it's nice to kind of go through and sit there with the audience and see this 3D movie. It's kind of similar.
Yeah, it is.
In terms of other shows, you've got Beetlejuice's Graveyard Review.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about that a little bit before. It's maybe not the greatest, but it is something fun to do. When you're sitting outside, you know, they kind of run through songs.
I'm pretty sure you need to be a thrill seeker because you don't know if you're walking out of there alive.
Yeah, I know. That is the truth. You have Animal Actors.
Yep.
Which I've actually never done.
Well, do you like animal shows?
Who doesn't like animal shows?
I'm allergic to animals, so.
Do they get really close?
No, they're far away, but what if the hair would...
The air wafts up into my face.
It would waft.
Okay, maybe. And then there is also Fear Factor Live.
Yep.
Hosted by Joe Rogan, the actual Joe Rogan.
Sure it is.
Sure. No, that's not true. But it's another one of sit-down shows. You know, you watch stuff happen up there. Another one I want to mention is Terminator. We've talked about that in... I think if you like this, try that.
Yep.
It's another sit-down show. They do stunts and stuff. There's like a motorcycle guy.
It's a half mixture of a 3D film, but with also live actors in it, kind of portraying parts, and then it'll try to seamlessly go into the movie. So
the funny thing about this, as I'm listing them off, you could easily fill a day with all this stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. And
these are long things.
I mean, a caveat to all of this is I don't want to say anything here is lesser, just because it doesn't have that thrill aspect to it.
Yeah,
but some people will joke about these rides.
I mean, absolutely.
Heck, we joke about it. Like saying Twister, something to do for people who don't or aren't roller coaster thrill seekers. Same goes with Disaster, something that's not that.
And just because we poke fun at it doesn't mean it's not a good experience to do. And if you're in a theme park, I mean, that's half the kind of point is you're going around doing different things. And
I mean, it also depends about your outlook going into a theme park. If you're not going to do the big e-ticket thrill ride attractions, you know, sometimes you're realizing that you're going to walk off something and it's just going to be horrendously cheesy or terrible.
You have to go in it with that mindset.
Yeah. If you have a bad attitude about it, well, this should have been the most amazing thing in the world. I paid $90 to be here today.
And I just saw like a 1998 version of Christopher Walken say Mother Nature.
There is nothing wrong with Christopher Walken any time of the day.
He's wearing that tan suit. It's great.
But
I hear him in the distance. In addition to like the shows and stuff that we talked about, there's also a small section of rides that people can do.
Yeah.
And a lot of these are kind of geared towards children, maybe I would say. Like, for example, you know, you've got King and Kodos.
Yeah.
Which is a spinner type ride, kind of like Dumbo and Magic Kingdom. But I've done that and I think it's really fun.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, the added aspect that makes that one actually way more enjoyable
is Jennifer Tilly.
Yeah. Everyone's favorite Madam Leota.
She's fantastic. But
hearing her voice in the queue and actually the aspect that it's kind of a game with it. That
you control the vehicle, you go up and down, you know.
Yep, you go up and down. And then if you get on the right level as you go past a certain target, then it will kind of ding, I guess, in a way, one of the characters, and then they'll say a quote, something funny. I'm not sure if it's just luck of the draw or if it is actual.
I think there's some skill involved. I think you have to go up and match a target that you pass and stuff like that.
Well, exactly, but I'm not sure how accurate you have to be in that. But either way, it's a nice little extra thing to make a ride that literally just spins around in circles a little more enjoyable.
Exactly. And then actually, I did leave off Terminator. I'm sorry, not Terminator. Horror Makeup Show in Hollywood. Yep. That's quite honestly probably my favorite show
in general. If we're talking just straight attractions, rides and shows, I think it's one of the top tier attractions in that park.
Absolutely, I agree.
Yeah.
And we also have Lucy a Tribute, which, you know, we talked about. It's like a museum. I love it because I love the Lucy show and all that stuff. But I mean, there's some people that aren't going to get that big of a thrill out of Lucy, but you give it a chance.
I don't know how you couldn't.
She's amazing.
She's the best.
She's America's favorite redhead.
Yeah.
So we're
right after me.
Well, sure.
Okay.
We're actually going to leave Harry Potter off to the end. So obviously we're leaving out Diagon Alley right now, but we're getting back to it.
Let's go on to Islands of Adventure.
Let's go to Islands of Adventure. So now we talked about it 2 weeks ago, actually, in our last show, best ways to get wet. And yep. I don't know if I would necessarily call these thrill rides. I love water rides.
Mm-hmm.
I think some people might be a little afraid of them, maybe.
Some people.
But I don't consider these thrill rides. So I would definitely consider Dudley Do Right, Ripsaw Falls, and Popeye and Bluto's Bill-Drap Barges as really good attractions that someone who's maybe not into the roller coasters, not into simulators, they should definitely give these a shot. Because it's all open air. You get, you know, you're going to get soaked. And
yeah, I mean, with Dudley Do Right's Ripsaw Falls, it is a pretty steep drop. I'm not sure of the actual degree of angle on that final drop. If you can handle Splash Mountain over at Disney, then you can handle
no question
Ripsaw Falls.
Yeah.
But just for the caveat there, because caveat is the word of the day.
We've said it about 1,000 times.
I always choose one word and I decide to just beat it to death.
But I think I said it first, actually.
Okay. I chose it after I heard you say it.
Okay.
But it has that fall. Yeah. So if you don't like going down a steep hill that's a couple 50 feet or so. I don't know.
It's a very scientific measurement.
I don't know.
Along those same lines, I think we should talk about Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
So that's a very similar ride. I would compare that really similar to Splash Mountain because you know, there's dark ride portions you're going through. There's dinosaurs. And then there is a big drop at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this one is even bigger and steeper.
It's like the biggest
than Splash
waterfall
Mountain.
In Florida,
huge.
I think.
So if you definitely don't like steepness and big drops, I would avoid this one, but it's a minor thrill. It's not like you're not going upside down unless the boat flips.
Yeah, that's alarming. Yeah. No, you're not going upside down. It's a nice ride.
It might flip.
Yeah, it could.
But
and then there's a couple more that we've kind of talked about before, Poseidon's Fury, which is a walkthrough.
Yes.
I think it's great for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Just go in with that nice mindset that we talked about. You know, you're not going in seeing a blockbuster attraction.
It's like watching Roseanne.
It's like watching Roseanne.
Just good old-fashioned humor.
Take it for what it is.
Yep.
And then there's Sinbad.
Skip it.
Yeah. I've actually never done that.
Let's forget about that.
All right. And then Seuss Landing. I think pretty much the entire land is appropriate for non-thrill seekers.
Absolutely. I mean, it's generally classified as the kids area of Islands of Adventure. But I think it goes even beyond that. Anyone who's a fan of Dr. Seuss.
Who isn't?
I mean, everyone.
It's un-American.
I think everyone who's American actually has to grow up and read at least 6 Dr. Seuss books.
I think it's the law.
I'm not going to name which ones.
Wacky Wednesday.
They have to.
Yeah.
And every story that you would actually care about, and then even some that you don't care about.
You don't want to see
it. You don't need to see it, but you still see it in Seuss Landing.
So you got Cat in the Hat, which is a dark ride.
Yeah.
I think a few years ago, it might not be the best for people that get sick because it did spin a lot, but they've really toned that down. And so I found it enjoyable. I didn't notice anything.
Yeah, it's definitely calmed down.
One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish, which we talked about last week.
Yep.
Carousel.
A carousel.
It's a carousel, so you're not going to get sick on that. And then High in the Sky Trolley.
Yep. High in the Sky Seuss Trolley Train Ride.
Seuss Trolley Train Ride.
You gotta say it all.
Trademark, copyright, don't sue Dr. Seuss.
So, and of course, that one, it's a really easygoing ride.
Yeah.
However, there is a height restriction on it. I believe it's 36 inches just off the top of my head. So even though
it fall out of the thing.
Yeah, it's high in the sky. It literally is about 30 feet up
name.
In the air. So they don't want your kids jumping out. And quite frankly, Universal doesn't trust you that you're going to watch your kids.
I don't think you're supposed to watch your kids, are you?
Who watches their kids?
Yeah.
Parenting.
Parenting. It's overrated.
But with that, let's actually talk
about Harry Potter.
Stuff that can really take up an entire day of looking around at.
And I think before we start this, I kind of want to bring up a question that I've heard a few times. Is it worth getting the tickets to Universal just for Harry Potter?
Mm-hmm.
And I have a pretty strong answer for that. I think it's an absolute yes.
Okay.
I don't know if you feel the same way. But I think that's a lot of people's viewpoint right now. You know, Hogsmeade was open. Now they've just opened up Diagon Alley. And I think a lot of people want to know, is it worth going to these parks that I've never been before? But I'm such a huge Harry Potter fan.
Yeah.
Is it worth going? And I think absolutely yes.
Oh, I completely agree. The first time I saw the Wizarding World of Harry Potter in Hogsmeade, and specifically the first time I was ever at Universal, was the exact same time. So
yeah.
I wanted to go there and go straight back to Forbidden Journey. So I go ahead and I walk on in and I see stuff like Marvel and Toon Lagoon and Jurassic Park as I'm on the way back. And all of that was amazing. But literally the moment that I stepped foot in Wizarding World of Harry Potter Hogsmeade, my mouth just dropped. My jaw dropped.
And well, I hope your mouth didn't.
But my mouth was still on there, but my jaw fell down.
Okay. No, I completely understand what you're saying. And I had a very similar experience. Actually, I didn't go to Universal or Harry Potter until the Diz was hosting Dizapalooza.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was in 2011, maybe. We might get the year wrong. But it was in December, and it was fantastic.
Yeah.
I fell in love with that area. The theming is so fantastic. So let's talk about a little bit about the things that you can do there.
Yeah.
Let's start with Hogsmeade. So Ollivander's is a show that you go into. It's a store.
Well, we'll go into the whole technical details of it.
Ollivander's, really specific.
Ollivander's is in the park map. It's listed as a shop.
Okay, yeah.
That's what they generally classify it. However, they also, before you get to the shopping portion of it, they have an interactive demonstration of what wand, if you purchase it, what a wand could actually do. And just like in Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, one person from the room, sometimes two. It's very rare that they do two, but sometimes
it happens.
Yeah, you
said they do sometimes do like a couple thing where...
Yeah, a couple, sisters, twins, you know, every now and then.
Only twins. It's only for twins.
Twins. unless it's Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger twins, then they don't.
Then they don't allow it. They get freaked out.
So generally one person gets picked, and, you know, the wand keeper at Ollivander's tries to, you know, find their wand because the wand chooses the wizard.
It's straight out of the books and the movies, if you're familiar with the movies. I mean, the experience is fantastic.
Incredible. Yeah. Every time the wand actually the right wand finds the wizard, and that whole scene plays out just like it does in the first movie. Like, I get goosebumps every time I see that happen. Yeah. Even if it's sometimes they pick up people who have no idea what's going on for whatever reason, don't understand English.
I was going to say they don't even speak English.
Never don't know saw Harry Potter's. The movies or read the books. They have no idea what's happening.
All they know is witchcraft.
But whenever they get that experience and the light comes on and the wind and the music bursts up, I mean, it's a...
And it's one of those things where I think a lot of people try to be the person that what's the noun? Keeper? One shop man?
The wand keeper?
He chooses a person. Yeah. I think a lot of people want to be the person
they want to be.
Interact. But I would argue that the experience is fantastic even if you're not.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just something cool to watch and see. So,
well, let's say you are chosen. After it, then they ask you if you want to buy the wand, which before it was, do you want to buy a $35 wand that is basically a decoration? Now they're asking you if you want to buy a $55 wand that can interact with other elements throughout the Wizarding World.
So there, you might say that there's a caveat.
There is a caveat.
Hey.
But it's a good one. I mean,
it is a good one because you want the wand. Yeah.
And that's another thing to do around there. We'll get more on that whenever we go back to Diagon Alley. But
we will. Yeah. So let's talk about a couple of the other things.
Okay.
Flight of the Hippogriff, I would say, is a nice roller coaster, kiddie roller coaster ride.
It's a family
ride.
Coaster.
Family coaster, you might say. Yep. I would compare it to probably Barnstormer.
That is the best comparison.
It's just a fun, really easygoing little ride.
Anyone
crazy.
Yeah, anyone who's a non-thrill ride seeker is going to be fine with
exactly.
It. And I will argue that the best view of the Wizarding World is actually from up there, because the lift hill, once you're going up the lift hill, you have the Hogwarts Castle on your right, and then straight down in front of you is Hogsmeade. And it is absolutely the best view you can get from up there. You're not allowed to have loose articles pulled out, so you can't take pictures.
You can't have your iPad taking pictures. But
yeah, you can't do that.
Okay.
But still, just a fantastic view, and it's really quick. And that's also how you can see Hagrid's hut. And
you can see Buckbeak.
You can see, bow to the Hippogriff.
Bow to the Hippogriff.
Bow to it.
Yes.
And so your sensei.
And you're, because the Hippogriff takes karate.
Yep. Okay. Exactly.
All right. So that is a cool little coaster to do. Also, we've talked about this a little bit before, but with Forbidden Journey, you can just take a castle tour, which means you can just go through the queue. You just tell one of the team members, I don't plan on riding. I just want to walk through Hogwarts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fantastic experience, especially if you know the details and the scenery from the books and the movie, because it's done so well.
Yeah.
And it really looks nice in there. So just take a few minutes and walk through. You get to see all the really cool details in the queue.
Yep.
You get to experience a lot of it. And then when you get to the end, you just say, hey, I'm not going to ride it. I'm just going to take this other route. And you get to the gift shop just like you would if you had ridden it.
Yeah. And you can do the same thing at Dragon Challenge. You don't see as much. It's not as well themed, but you can still see the Goblet of Fire. You can see the Triwizard Cup.
It's themed just like the Triwizard Tournament. So you get to see the cup. You get to see some cool scenery around it.
You get to see the Weasley's Fort Anglia.
Yeah.
So
I would say it's just as cool. I mean, not as cool as Hogwarts.
It kind of ends after... after you see the Triwizard Cup, then you get to see the golden eggs, and then it goes into the candle room. And then after that, it's just caves that they really didn't repurpose after Dueling Dragons went away.
Merlin's, yeah. Okay.
Goodbye.
And then lastly, in Hogsmeade, I want to mention the live performances.
Yep.
So there's a couple shows. There's the Frog Choir.
Yep.
With the Hogwarts students and
not
the singing.
Not creepy at all.
Not creepy. They're like frog puppets. Yep. But you know what? If you really love the movies and the books, I think that's probably something you'll enjoy.
Absolutely.
And then there is a dance show choreographed Durmstrang.
It's the Triwizard Spirit Rally. So the Durmstrangs, the Bobatons, however you want to say it. And then one Hogwarts student will be out there, and the Bobatons will...
They do like a ribbon dance.
A very, very fun ribbon dance. I mean, you could set it to 80s music and it would be wonderful. However, they choose to set it to
the Tiffany songs. Yeah.
To a score, one of the tracks off of Goblet of Fire soundtrack, whatever. But the Durmstrangs, they do some stick fighting and they do some jumping and it's far superior to the Frog Choir.
It's highly choreographed. So it's all these dancing and jumps and it's cool. And it's a good way to spend, you know, a good amount of time in there just kind of taking it all in.
If you got
to
catch one of the two, though, absolutely catch the Triwizard Spirit Rally. So
let's move on to Diagon Alley.
Absolutely.
That just opened. We've talked a lot about it, but I do just want to knock off some of these points. I think London Waterfront and the Nightbus area is a great place to just spend time.
Yep.
And there's a food cart. You can go get food out there.
Yep.
So it's cool to look around. There's cool details in the windows. You get to talk. You get to interact with
the Nightbus conductor
and the Shrunken Head.
Well, that's something I really want to stress on that is a lot of people that I've seen in the... however long since Diagon Alley opened, a lot of people are just going up and just taking their picture with the conductor and the Shrunken Head.
Yeah.
They don't even know that they can actually interact and they can sit there and talk, but instead a line just forms, take your picture, walk away. It's supposed to be this fun, interactive experience.
Even if it's a group that kind of huddles up around
they'll go around to everyone. So please, if you didn't listen to us before, whenever we said
for the love of God, talk to the head.
If you're there and you see someone, go up and make an example
and push them out of the way.
Yeah. Push them out of the way and start talking. Yeah, I know you don't have it on this list, unless you have it under live performances.
Maybe.
But the live musicians inside King's Cross?
Sure. I mean, let's talk about it.
We're already in London, so I figure why not.
Let's do it, So in King's Cross Station, they have, and I always forget this word. You'll probably remind me. The people that are playing music with like a hat to collect money. There's a word that starts with a B.
Peddlers?
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, so they're playing saxophone, they're playing violin, guitar. I mean, they're in the train station asking for money, playing music for them. So
various musicians, yeah.
Various musicians.
Just kind of like...
And there's no... I don't think there's a set time. I think it's
hobos.
Just atmosphere. You might say Hobo Joes.
Yeah.
At the train station. But it's cool. And it's good atmosphere for the train station.
Oh, yeah. No, and it's just a nice little element that you would actually see in a train station.
Busker is the word.
I've never been in a train station, but if I was in one, I'm sure I would see that. Let's move inside, though.
Let's.
To actually Diagon Alley itself.
So there's a lot of cool places to explore.
A lot.
Obviously, Nocturne Alley is one of my standout places.
Yeah.
It's very interactive. It's dark. I mean, it's just a cool place to just explore and look around at everything. But I feel the same way about all of Diagon Alley, to be honest.
Yeah.
There's Ollivanders in the same way that there is in Hogsmeade. This has a much higher capacity.
Yeah.
There's multiple rooms that holds a lot of people. And then live performances, like Craig mentioned, I have on my list. I think some of the best live entertainment in a theme park. And I know you don't care much for her, but I love Celestina Warbeck.
Who is
a singer, a performer in the Wizarding World from the books. And she does a really great show. It's Celestina Warbeck, and then she has the three banshees. And they dance around. They do a show. It's very kind of jazz singer.
I appreciate how talented she is.
They're very talented.
It's not my style of music. I don't wake up in the morning and say, why not put on a Celestino record?
It's very Broadway style jazz singer.
But I know she is amazing.
She is amazing.
I can say that flat out.
And I think you can understand how cool it is to just stand there and watch her performance. There's some audience interaction.
Yeah.
They bring someone up. And
right now, I just prefer The Tale of Three Brothers.
Exactly.
Oops. Cannonball.
Scared the bejesus. They have
The Tales of the Beetle Bard Story, Tale of the Three Brothers, right now playing. There's supposed to be one more. I think The Fountain of Fair Fortune is the one they're going to add.
Yeah.
And that's coming. We heard a rumor that it was supposed to happen towards the end of August. And as far as I know, that still hasn't come to pass. So we'll see if it does really relatively soon here. But it's going to be coming out. But Tale of Three Brothers, oh my goodness.
It's
probably
some of
my favorite one.
I agree. I mean, it's such amazing puppetry.
It's puppetry.
And you know, when they first said that, I thought it was probably going to be like, you know, kind of cheesy and like a little like puppet theater kind of thing. This is so advanced.
Oh, yeah.
And it's beautiful the way these puppets were made. And they really, it's not the type of puppetry where the performer's hidden. They're voicing the story, they're narrating, and it's like huge, really large scale puppets.
Yeah, and it's slightly marionetting. Is that can you make that into a verb?
It is a verb.
Can you make it a verb?
Can it be a marionetter?
Slightly marionetters. They're marions. but no, that's the kind of style it is in a way, just on a different scale, not like the normal marionettes you see in,
exactly.
in Sound of Music. It's
well, that's everyone's reference for marionettes. It's the Lonely
Yodelay, Joker. Yodelay,
thank
yodelay.
You. You're great at that. Yeah, please stop.
But anyways, it's one of the facts that I like about it is a lot of these people weren't actually puppeteers by trade, just from what I've
heard.
They're
not licensed puppeteers?
I believe they went for their license, but they got revoked. Florida doesn't actually have any.
Oh, they had to go to Georgia to get their license?
They had to go to Georgia. Okay. It doesn't matter. They crossed state lines. Anyways, a lot of them did other things before, but they wanted to be a part of it. So they learned how to be puppeteers. I don't know. How do you just learn to be a puppeteer overnight?
I think
overnight?
There's like, you go to the University of Phoenix. I think they offer courses.
That is in no way a jab at the University of Phoenix.
No,
they offer a lot of online degrees that are suitable for anyone's lifestyle.
Universityofphoenix.org. Okay, so the live performances in Diagon Alley are fantastic. And I think this kind of brings us into our next subject, that there's such great theming and design details in these parks.
Sing it.
Sing what?
Go.
The praises?
Yeah.
So basically, you could just spend time exploring the parks, taking in kind of the atmosphere of the lands. I think one of the points I wanted to make is I think a lot of times Universal Creative, at least Disney fans, view Universal Creative as not as the same level as Imagineering.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a pretty fair thing to say, right?
I agree.
There's kind of that assumption that it's not to that level. And I'm really glad that people are really recognizing Diagon Alley as being standout. And I think a lot of people are saying it's one of the best themed areas in any theme park. So I think that it's really nice to go back and look at these other places. I know we're going to mention a couple that are throughout Universal Studios and Islands of Adventure that are just so well themed.
Sorry, just to even point out for people who are huge Disney fans and know the Imagineers themselves, Tony Baxter even went to see.
I loved that.
Diagon Alley.
Yeah.
Like, whenever one of the greatest Disney legends that's still alive, he took the time to go see Diagon Alley. That says something right there, that it is on that other level. If he'll, you know, he's a busy guy. He's doing stuff, but he went to see Diagon Alley.
Exactly.
And you should, too.
You should, too. I don't know where you're looking, but yeah.
Oh, sorry. Off in the distance. But,
okay.
Yeah, theming.
Let's talk about theming. So we talked about Diagon Alley and Hogsmeade a lot.
Yeah.
The theming's fantastic. There's places to explore. I think it's fantastic for people that are fans of the books and the movies, and then just people that aren't. I think if you don't have any knowledge, just go, and you'll appreciate the level of detail. But in a broader sense, Universal Studios Florida, I think Hollywood is a really great example of the theming and what the effort they put into it.
Yeah.
It's easy to compare it to, it's easy to kind of put it on the same level as Hollywood Studios. But in my opinion, it blows Hollywood Studios out of the water.
Absolutely. Yeah. One of the things I've been moaning about on the Diz Unplugged Disney World edition is that Hollywood Studios it looks so drab. It needs painted. It needs to look fresh.
It's old and dated.
If you want to see the version I think it should kind of transform into, go to Universal Studios Florida and look at their Hollywood, because it is just fantastic. It is out of this world. I'm not sure if it's always looking like how Hollywood's supposed to look like. I'm not sure if every landmark that's in that area is still in Hollywood.
Well, I think it kind of takes you back to like that golden age of Hollywood. So there's these landmarks like the Hollywood Brown Derby, which is not a restaurant in Universal Studios. It's actually a hat shop.
It makes sense.
It's that classic Brown Derby design where it's the actual building is the Brown Derby hat. So it's this big hat you walk into.
The Pantages Theater is there.
Exactly.
Yep. I believe that's still around.
Oh, yeah. It's still around.
And that's where the horror makeup show is. Yeah.
So just like the architecture and the details that they put into all these references to kind of classic Hollywood are fantastic. Uh-huh. And you could just walk around, look at all these things, kind of like people do in Main Street, where you look up and see the windows and look at these details. There's so much history there.
Yeah. And I think I've mentioned it once before. I'm not positive if I have, but part of why Universal Studios Florida is designed so well is that it's supposed to be a studio. So say you're in New York and you're looking over at Hollywood, you see Hollywood all like you would through a camera's eye. So that way, if you set up a camera somewhere and you have that nice big landscape look at Hollywood, same goes for New York. If you set up a camera when you're in Hollywood and you look out towards that way, it's going to look like a nice New York backlot set. So that's kind of a cool tip too.
No, it is.
The reason why this theming is done so eloquently is because it was designed in this way to look through a camera and see how someone else would see it.
Well, that brings us to, you know, to New York and San Francisco, two other areas.
Oh, that's cool.
In the park.
That works.
And I think in the same way, it feels so immersive when you're in those places. And I kind of made the comparison to the feeling of the backlot tour and the Streets of America and Hollywood Studios, how it's just a facade. I mean, it's just kind of like temporary structures. Instead, in Universal Studios, it feels like you're in the place itself.
Yep.
So there's alleys, the buildings are full size. There's things inside, whether it be shops or restaurants and stuff. You can go into them. It feels like you're in the place.
Yeah, New York especially is fantastic. Having the Macy's building kind of facade right there in the New York Public Library.
You would call it Herman Square, I think is what you call
it. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Herman.
You know more than me.
No, it's called Herald Square. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But that was from our Christmas in July.
It feels like you're actually in New York whenever you're in there.
It really does. Yeah.
The only problem that I have with that area is that the Blues Brothers show happens in New York, but
it's just not.
That's not accurate.
No, it's not.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Will you ever get over it?
Yeah. So, it goes without saying, but then London too. Everyone who's seen London as part of Diagon Alley has said that it's like being in London.
Yeah. In the same regards, the details that they put into the architecture, all that stuff, even the scale. And let's move over to Islands of Adventure real fast. I think Port of Entry, which is the essentially Main Street, it's the entryway into the park. Gypsy Village.
Yep.
Yeah. But Borat Gypsy or just regular Gypsy?
Just regular.
So, It's kind of themed. I don't even know how to describe the theme. It's very kind of creative, imaginative. It's not a replica of something that exists. It's kind of a combination of like an old port, probably off the sea.
It's an ancient idea of a port from like the 1400s before there was technology, all that stuff. And it was just people sailing from port to port, not our modern day ports that are just
people selling wicker baskets.
And t-shirts.
Yeah.
So
basically, it's just like a really cool design, and there's so many details.
Yeah.
In the same way, like we've said about all these other places. I mean, so much work went into these things that you can look around and see the different references to things. I don't know. There's all kinds of shops, and there's all kinds of moving parts. I know there's like a moving wheel up in there's a bridge and stuff. I don't know. It's cool.
It is cool.
Yeah.
But then moving further back into the park, you have John Hammond's Jurassic Park.
Yes.
Rest in peace, Richard Attenborough.
Rest in peach?
Oops. Did I say peach? Am I hungry again?
You must be hungry. I was going to let it slip, but then I just had to say it. So,
my bad.
It's okay. So you have Jurassic Park, which is really, it's a cool thing to walk through. It's very, you know, you're walking through a jungle.
It looks like it's right out of the movie.
Just like out of the movie.
Best way to describe it. They even have the Discovery Center, and there's a nice little interactive area down below. Velociraptor may or may not hatch. Who knows?
We will not spoil it for you.
If John Hammond's not there, and it hatches, he might get pissed.
He might.
He always likes to be there whenever the little ones are born. I think that's the line. But then let's go back over to Lost Continent.
I'm even going to throw that in there because even though it's kind of like they've taken a lot of it for Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a lot smaller than it used to be.
Yep.
I think it's a really cool land to walk through. You got Poseidon's Fury there. You got Mythos, the restaurant. There's cool details. It's all kind of the rock work. It reminds you kind of like ancient Greece. You've got like a statue and a fountain and a big, I don't know. There's just cool details.
Yeah. And one thing actually, because you just mentioned Harry Potter again, I forgot to mention it earlier, but we need to stress to walk into every single building that you possibly can. And then once you're in there, look around for the details. If you're not a huge fan, if you don't know anything about it, just pull aside a team member that doesn't look like they're doing anything and ask them, what do I need to look at? What's cool about this shop? Especially in Diagon Alley right now, they are so excited about it being open and, you know, everything that was packed in there. They will talk your ear off about this detail and that detail.
Well, especially when you have a guest that's interested in something
in
other
learning.
Than where's the in learning, and they're not asking you where the closest bathroom is or whatever.
Yeah,
you're allowed to ask that too, but
you can
ask a better question.
But I don't leave no shop unturned, leave no restaurant unturned.
Don't be violent. Don't turn shelves over and stuff. But I mean, you can at least look in them.
Do we want to talk about dining real quick?
Oh, you want to talk about dining? Okay,
let's talk about dining.
Let's just real fast because I think. I know for me, a big part of the theme park experience, even though, you know, I don't really care for the thrill rides and stuff, I love finding places to just kind of relax, whether it be restaurants or bar type places where you can just kind of hang out, maybe get a beer, a drink, just relax and spend time. I think that immersive environment really lends itself well to just kind of relaxing and being in the place itself. So for Universal Studios, of course, Diagon Alley is a huge one for me now. You got Leaky Cauldron, Florian Fortescue's Found a Fair Fortune is fantastic for their beer selection. But even more so, I love Moe's Tavern in Duff Gardens.
Yep.
I mean, you almost can't beat it. If you're a Simpsons fan, and going to Duff Gardens, and they have kind of a full rectangular bar that goes around the full perimeter of Duff Gardens. It's so nice to just get a beer, sit on that bar, and just spend an afternoon. Like, people watch. There's cool stuff happening around you.
Yeah. And I just have to say this in regards to The Simpsons. It has been around for 25 years now. And people sometimes question, why would they invest so much money in The Simpsons? It's not going anywhere right now.
Look, FXX. The past 7 days prove that. I mean,
the past 12 days.
Was it 12 days?
It was a 12-day marathon of 552 episodes. The Simpsons is here to stay. And I mean, right now it's still popular. It's not as popular as it was once before, but it still has that rabid fan base because of the marathon that just happened. Now that it's in syndication on FXX, it revived all those people who gave up on it a long time ago,
of course,
who have rediscovered the show and realized the newer seasons aren't as bad as they thought. It's about to hit a new high because it's now going to be available on mobile as long as you have a cable.
I had no idea service. You were so Norma Ray about Simpsons, but I am
very passionate about it.
Completely on board. I mean, the same thing. I spent the past 12 days watching different parts of every Simpsons ever marathon.
Yeah. And choose three random episodes and guarantee walking around the whole Springfield section, you're going to see at least a couple of the landmarks, if not all of them.
Yeah, and references to specific things. Yeah. I mean, and while you're sitting at Duff Gardens, they're showing clips on the screens above you, and it's fun to just hang out there.
I agree.
Be in Springfield.
But Finnegan's is also fun.
Finnegan's
over in New York.
Yeah. It's an Irish pub.
Yep.
It's nice inside.
It's a great place.
It's actually a great place.
The heat.
I was going to say that. Get on the air conditioning and just hang out, have a beer.
Absolutely agree.
Oh, absolutely.
And it has a restaurant attached to it, too.
And a restroom.
Pub food. So,
yeah.
Yep.
So Islands of Adventure, let's move over there real fast. You have Backwater Bar, which is in Port of Entry.
Mm-hmm.
So it's themed really cool, like we were talking about, kind of the port town with gypsies.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hogsmeade. You can't pass up Hogshead, which is a really nice bar. It's attached to the Three Broomsticks, but there is separate seating inside.
Yep.
And then there's a nice outdoor patio.
Absolutely. So I know that we've gone over there and literally just sat behind Three Broomsticks and Hogshead and for half an hour, just sitting there relaxing, taking in the sights and sounds.
It's outside, but they have umbrellas and big fans above you. So it's a nice place to cool off, even though it is outside. But
exactly. And then, so obviously, if you haven't figured it out yet, all those people watching, listening, there is just so much to see and do at these places. especially in the Wizarding World, you could easily take a day in each Wizarding World if you really want to invest the time walking around,
yeah,
make a full day out of it, and then also see the other areas of the park too. It can be both full day parks. And then, heck, I'd even do that third day too, if you're going to devote that much time to just looking for all these hidden details, and then have a day to do everything over again. Go at your own pace, though. You can't run around these places. But
go at your own pace. And I think the huge thing, listing all this stuff off, none of this was a roller coaster.
Yeah.
I mean, you could easily fill these days with just taking all the details, taking your time, going around to these different attractions, and just relaxing.
None of them were thrill rides. But also, in terms of what to see, what to do, it also depends on what time of year you're going.
Exactly.
Because there's free entertainment that can happen depending on what time of year you're there. The biggest one being Mardi Gras.
Hugest one. I saw, probably five of these concerts that were included in the Mardi Gras event. And these were really high-quality concerts.
Huey Lewis was amazing.
Huey Lewis was the best one by far. Yep. And to think that was included in our park admission that we had anyway is unbelievable.
Yeah, and even Christmas time. I know we talked about that before on the Christmas in July episode, but if you're there on one of the Saturdays, you have the chance of seeing a Mannheim Steamroller concert. You have the parade, and over at Islands of Adventure, you have Grinchmas going on. And those are prime examples of stuff to do if you're not a thrill seeker.
No, and it takes up a large amount of time, and it's fun stuff to just hang out and see.
Yeah.
There's shows, your Grinchmas show, and it's...
And I would argue, if you are on the fence about thinking you don't have a lot to do there because you're not a thrill seeker and you don't know if you can really get your time out of it, try to plan it around one of these times of year where these are going on, Mardi Gras and or Christmas time. And then also, if Horror Nights is your thing, if you think you could get into that, you're not afraid of being scared from boogeymen, but you're afraid of roller coasters.
It's an upcharge, but if you're up for it, do it.
Yeah, and they usually have a discount if you upgrade your ticket to get Horror Nights on it too.
Okay.
So, that's good to know.
Yeah.
I don't have numbers off the top of my head exactly.
Why'd you bring it up?
Just because it is an upcharge, but it's not always that ridiculous. But honestly, and we didn't even get into City Walk here, because part of what happens, whenever I would go with my family to Universal, we would like to go to City Walk for lunch during the day. So
you go to the park
for a while,
then head out,
because you have to go through City Walk to get to the other side to go to each park. It's set up where you can all walk together, so you can go through City Walk to get to the other park. So might as well stop, grab a bite to eat over there, and then get to the next park.
Exactly. And now you have all the new additions to City Walk. There's tons of stuff to do and eat.
Yeah, and going even further on that, you have all the hotels, which are each themed so wonderfully.
Yeah.
Walk around those for a little while.
It's just a boat ride or a bus ride over.
Yeah. You have to pay for parking at Universal. So once you pay to park, you're there. If you need a break in the afternoon to just walk around, see something else, not feeling the impact, go walk around to the different resorts, especially Cabana Bay.
There's so much there that you should never feel bored.
Yeah.
And that's the big point I wanted to make. Even if you're skipping these big rides, there you should never have a point in time where you feel like there's nothing for you to do. There's always something to see or just to do. So
can completely agree, and I think this was a good thing to talk about.
Good.
So thank you so much for bringing it up.
Oh,
so
you're
that
very
way
welcome.
We can discuss
thanks for helping
discuss this.
God, he's got Bell's palsy again.
I do. Okay, well, I think that's going to do it for us this week on the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition.
Thanks.
So thanks, everyone, for watching and listening. And we will be back next time with more. So, thanks. See you.
Bye.